Now's a time when things are shifting. There's gonna be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So, I'm going to prove to you today through the scriptures that there is a difference between the rapture and the second coming. Now, listen. If you get on here today and you're offended by the word rapture, we've got another segment for you lined up for this week, and we'll talk about where that word originated from, the alpha of that word, where it is. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Everybody just calm down. We're going to cover all that. So today, on today's broadcast, listen, here's what we're going to cover this week before we get started. Today, we're going to talk, we're going to show you the difference between the rapture and the second coming. We're going to prove to you with tons of scripture that there is two different events, not one. Number two, this week, we're going to show you the origin of the word rapture, why it's even named. Why do we talk about this? We're going to talk about that. This week, we're going to talk about Old Testament types and shadows of the word of the rapture, why it was not mentioned by name in the Old Testament, why this was revealed in the New Testament. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, we're going to show you the timing of this event that Paul talked about in the New Testament called the catching away, the gathering together, the rapture, the harpazo. Again, whatever you want to call it, the great catching away, the great escape. So we're going to cover all that this week. So this is going to be a huge trigger point, and we get that. But listen to me. I am unashamed. Let me say this. I am not ashamed of preaching on something that the Apostle Paul preached on in the early church and to the early church. So ready? Here we go. For everyone that wants to take notes and be respectful, and we're going to talk about this right now. Ready? Here we go. You're going to take notes. I know everybody wants to argue in the comments. So someone has said, why should we should just disable the comments? And that might be a good idea, actually. So I don't know how we can do that live here, but we're going to let it go. But please listen as I want to. This is an equipping message. I promise you, you will enjoy this if you're willing to be, if you are able to be taught, if you're willing to be taught and you have a teachable spirit. All right, here we go. Ready? In the rapture or the catching away of the church, Jesus comes for his bride, the church, and takes them to heaven before the tribulation. John chapter 14, verses 1 and 3. John 14, 1 and 3. Listen to Jesus is speaking. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, where is the Father's house? It is not on earth. It is in heaven. Listen what he says. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go, listen what Jesus said. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, where is this place that is going to be prepared for us, the ecclesia of the church? He tells you, in heaven, in my Father's house. Listen, I will come again. He says, I'll come again. So he's there present speaking, but he's going to go to heaven. He's going to be glorified. But listen what he says. I will come again. Somebody say he's coming again and receive you to myself. The word receive here in the Greek is parambano, and it means to be taken. This same receive, this word is found in Matthew 24 and Luke 12 as well. I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you guys see this? Jesus tells them, I'm coming back again for the purpose to receive you or take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, which is in heaven, not on earth, heaven. All right. Now, 1 Thessalonians, we're going to, again, I told you guys, we're going to go through a lot of scripture today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Listen, I am not worried. I know there's probably all chaos breaking loose in the comment section, but we'll take care of that after the message. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. All right, here we go. Actually, let's read verse 9. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Listen to this. And to wait for his son from heaven. Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica, says, you, the church, are waiting for God's son from heaven. Listen to this. Whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now, what is the wrath to come? The wrath to come is the tribulation. The tribulation is compared. Listen, the tribulation is made up of 42 months and 42 months, 3.5 years and 3.5 years. The Bible speaks of the wrath of the Lamb for the first 42 months, and the wrath of God in the latter 42 months. You've got bold judgments, you've got vile judgments, and you've got trumpet judgments that are all happening in the tribulation. But Paul tells the church of Thessalonica, we are to wait for the Son of God from heaven, who is going to deliver us from the wrath to come. Oh, hallelujah. I wish somebody would get excited. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 14 through 17. Let me read this. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have died in Jesus. Did y'all get that? Let me say it again. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him, because Jesus is coming back, those who have died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, there's going to be a generation of believers that will be alive until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And by the way, we'll cover all that too later on in this week, because there's no way we could cover all this. It would literally take hours. And listen, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then there will be a generation of believers that will be alive at the coming of the Lord, the rapture. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's the controversial word right there, caught up. We're not going to break that down this today. We'll do that later. But they will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Where's he at? The air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Listen to this. For God did not appoint us, the church, to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, reiterating that we, the church, have not been appointed to enter into the wrath of God. Revelation chapter 3. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Revelation 3, verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Again, he tells the church here that if we keep his command, endure to the end, persevere, walking in covenant with him, living a lifestyle of repentance and being set apart for him. He says here, I will keep you from the hour of temptation that shall come upon the whole world. Now, that's not just a literal hour. We know 1,000 years is into a day, and a day is into 1,000 years. So he's saying here, there's coming a time frame of testing. Jacob's trouble that will come upon the world. But he says here that the church, come on, he says, I'll keep you from that hour of temptation that shall come upon the world. In Luke 21, he says, pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things. All right? Now, again, the rapture is the Lord Jesus Christ returning for his bride, the church, to take his bride to heaven. Now you contrast that with the second coming is when Jesus comes with his church and his bride from heaven. Ready? Watch this. Zechariah chapter 14. Now we're going to the Old Testament. Zechariah 14. We're going to hop around here. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus, listen to this, the Lord my God will come and all the saints with you. Notice he said, the Lord will come and the saints with him. Now we go to Colossians. We're going to go to the book of Colossians. Again, this is New Testament. And I want to read this to you. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Here we go. Ready? Listen to this. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Notice he will return. Again, this is a different event. He comes for the bride, takes him to heaven, then he comes with the bride. Two separate events here. Colossians 3. Revelation 19, 7. Let's go to the book of Revelation 19. It's way towards the end of your Bible. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. That's the church. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Watch this. This is Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. All right, then we go to 14, Revelation 19, 14. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Come on, somebody. Your Bible says he's returning on a white horse as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the saints with him. Now, who is that? That's the church, the bride of Christ returns with him. Matthew 24. Let's go to the book of Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 29. We're going to go to the book. We're going to go 29 through 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, and we're not going to listen, we're not going to get into the post-tribulation debate on this one. We're going to touch on that later. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the other. See, people will use that one scripture and they will run with it on it, but we're going to cover all that. But again, this event right here is the second coming, not the rapture. Jude 14, let's go to the book of Jude. This is the book right before the book of Revelation. Jude, last book before Revelation, Jude 14 and 15. Listen to this. Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, behold, listen to this. The Lord comes. Where's he coming from? Out of heaven with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed ungodly. The Lord is coming out of heaven with who? The 10,000s of his saints. He's coming. Again, 1 Thessalonians. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. This is the last one on this topic right here. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Let me say it again, that the Lord may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints, not for all of his saints, with, again, separate event. Let's recap this before we move on. The rapture, the Lord Jesus Christ comes for the church. At the second coming, he comes with the church. All right, now let's go to our number two. At the rapture, the church is caught up with him in the air, in the clouds. But at the second coming, Christ comes to earth and his feet touch the earth. Let me say that again. At the rapture, the Lord Jesus catches up his church into the air, into the clouds. Again, that's 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 18. We've already read that. But then at the second coming, Christ comes and his feet actually touch the earth. Zechariah, let's go back to the book of Zechariah. We're going to pull this up again. I want to show you this. Zechariah. Let's see, Zechariah 14:4. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and the other half towards the south. Y'all see that? So Christ's feet will touch the mountain when he comes back at the second coming. Revelation 19:11. Watch this. This is 11, Revelation 19, starting at verse 11. Let me read this. Now I say, heaven opened. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. This is not the Antichrist. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were likened unto a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the listen to this, and the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Revelation again 19 verses, Revelation 19, 7 through 8. Then we go down to 14. It says, the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Revelation 21, 9. Let's read that. Revelation 21, 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the tribe, show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit and into a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. So we see, again, this new Jerusalem descending out. This is a literal thing happening. Revelation 20, again, this is Revelation 19, 11 through 21. Let me read this. Let me go back. Revelation 19, 11 through 21. He talks about, I don't want to read all this because it would be exhausting. He talks about there will be a literal, Christ comes back, makes those who try to make war with him and against his army, the beast will be captured, the false prophet will be captured, and the mark of the beast, those who took the mark of the beast and worship his image were cast into the lake of fire. So there's a physical thing happening here. This is not allegorical, not spiritual. This is a literal thing that will take place here. Now, again, let's recap. At the rapture, the church will be caught up in the air in the clouds where to meet the Lord, but in the second coming, the Lord actually comes down and descends to earth. Here's number three. In the rapture, the Lord appears. Guys, listen, I'm just going to give you the scriptures, because if we read all these, we're going to be here for 2 hours. There's 15 parallels. So we'll do our best here, okay? We're going to do our best. This is where you got to do your homework. We're going to give you the scriptures. So there's no way that you cannot do your own homework and break this down. All right, let's go. Ready? At the rapture, Christ appears to believers only. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. I'm giving you a minute to write these down if you're taking notes. John 11, 40 and Hebrews 9, 28. Again, at the rapture, not every eye shall see him. He comes as a thief in the night. And he appears to those who are looking for his return. But in the, watch this, in the second coming, it says here that every eye will see him, including unbelievers. You see that? Two different events. Revelation 1, 7, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, Matthew 24, verse 30, Luke chapter 3, verse 6, and John 19, 37. Two separate events. Let's go to the next one here. All right, so 1, 2, 3, we're on number 4 here. And I think there may be more than 15. We'll clarify, because on my last message, I wasn't feeling too well, and we kind of skipped over one. So we want to make sure that we get these right. All right, ready? At the rapture, believers are taken first, but unbelievers are left behind because the door is shut. We're going to cover all the door. Somebody talk about the door. We're going to talk about that later. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. That's the parable of the 10 virgins. Remember, the bridegroom showed up, the door was shut, and there was a group that was left behind. And they knocked on the door and they said, let us in. And he says, I do not know you. You go to the book of Genesis. There's another picture that in Genesis, the righteous were taken. They escaped the wrath, but then the unbelievers were left in the flood. When Lot and his wife were taken out of the city, the unbelievers were left. They endured the wrath of God. Revelation 3 verses 8 through 10. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and 18. Again, I want to say this, at the rapture, believers are taken and unbelievers are left behind. But at the second coming, watch this. At the second coming, the wicked are taken first. Matthew 13, 28 through 30. Listen to this. Matthew 13, 20. Let me just read this. I want to read this. Matthew 13, watch this. Matthew 13, let's pull this up here real quick. Matthew 13. Let's go to verse 28. Matthew 13, 28 through 30. He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go? Now, this is the parable, the wheat and the tare. And the Lord says, do not pull up the tares, lest you pull up the wheat with them. Let both grow together into the harvest. And at that time, the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So we see this parable is speaking of a time in the tribulation when the unrighteous will be marked by God, and there will be a separation process here. Listen to this. The tribulation saints that are left will populate during the millennium. Have you ever wondered about that? There'll be people that will be left behind, and they will have to be tempted. They will have to choose whether or not they're going to receive the mark, whether or not going to worship or take the mark, whether they're going to worship the image of the beast, whether they're not going to worship worship the image of the beast. So these are the ones that are left behind. All right, now let's go to the next one. What is the purpose of the rapture? To present the church to himself and to the Father in heaven. Again, John chapter 14, verses 1 and 3, 2 Corinthians 11, 2, Revelation 19, 6 and 9. But at the rapture, watch this, the church will be presented to himself and to the Father in heaven. But at the second coming, the Lord comes back to execute judgment on the earth and set up his kingdom on earth. That's Zechariah 14, 3 and 4. That's Jude 1, 14 and 15. And that's Revelation 19, 11 through 21. Let's go to our next one. The rapture will reveal the man of sin. That's 2 Thessalonians 2. Watch this. Let me pull that one up. We're not going to read every one of these verses, guys, because we would be here for hours, but I'm giving them to you so you can study them in your own time. Let me read this, 2 Thessalonians 2. This is really powerful right here. All right, 2 Thessalonians 2. Let me get to the 2 Thessalonians 2. He says here, do you not remember when I was with you? I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time, for the mystery of lawlessness. By the way, that was one of the seven mysteries that we talked about in our last podcast, is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, removed out of the equation. And by the way, in the oldest translations, you can go all the way back to some of the Geneva translations of the New Testament. And the word here where it says falling away actually translates to a Greek word meaning to remove or to take from one place to another. So it eludes the removal of something that is restraining the man of sin from being revealed. And the scholars have noted this out, that the most likely interpretation of this is the ecclesia, or the church, is the restrainer that is keeping the Antichrist from being fully revealed before his time. But when he who now restrains shall be removed and taken out of the way, then the man of sin shall be revealed. That's 2 Thessalonians 2. But when we get to the second coming, Christ comes back and casts Satan to the bottomless pit and binds him after the tribulation. That's Revelation 20, verses 1 through 7. Watch this. The rapture happens in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There's no war. There's none of this stuff. It happens in a moment, in a harpazo, in a twinkling of an eye. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 52. But the second coming gives you specifics when in regards to locations and events. Oh, come on, somebody. He tells you from Edom to Bozrah to Megiddo and Armageddon to Jerusalem, that the Lord will return and there will be wars taking place in these locations. And the Lord Jesus Christ will be directly involved in these wars. But at the rapture, the church will be caught up in a moment and twinkling an eye. No wars, no tribulations, and no specifics of location. All right, here's another one. At the rapture, the church is changed, and we receive glorified bodies to go to heaven, where we will not be given in marriage, but will become immortal and be given bodies as unto Christ. Remember, Christ had a resurrected body. But he was still able to eat. He was still able to walk through walls. That's Matthew 22, 30, 1 Corinthians 15, 52, and 1 John 3, 2. But at the second coming, there will be people populating the earth during the millennium. There will be people that will still die. There will be people not being changed to immortality as in the rapture. Again, two separate events. Here's some more. Ready? And by the way, that's Isaiah 65 and 20. Let's get to it. We're halfway there, guys. Ready? Roll with me for a second. Jesus descends in the rapture. He descends from heaven with a shout and the voice as of a trumpet. That's 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, Revelation chapter 4. But if you go to Revelation 19, 11 through 21, which is the second coming, there is no shout mentioned. Why? If they're one and the same event, why didn't John the Revelator mention the shout, the trumpet, and the catching away? Because they're two separate events. Watch this. At the rapture, a resurrection takes place of all the saints to immortality, where we will later rule as kings and priests. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. But at the second coming, there is a resurrection of the martyred tribulation saints. Those are the ones that John saw under the throne, that have made their robes turn. They made their robes white because they've been slain during the tribulation. These will be raised up to immortality, who worship day and night in the temple of God. That's Revelation 7:15. Revelation 20, verses 4 and 6. It talks about those who were beheaded for their testimony to Jesus. All right. At the rapture, it will take place as a thief in the night, because no man knows the day nor the hour. But at the second coming, it tells us that at the second coming, it will take place at the end of the tribulation. See, the problem is, guys, people get confused between the rapture and the second coming, and they try to make it one and the same event. And this is why you have so much division in the body of Christ on the timing of the rapture. In fact, it is a known fact that most believers believe in the rapture, but they just, where they're divided about is the timing of the rapture. And a lot of that is because they mix the two events together, the rapture and the second coming. The second coming occurs at the end of the 7-year tribulation. The exact day is predicted 3.5 years or 1260 days after the abomination that makes Jerusalem desolate. That's Daniel 9:24 through 27. Daniel 12, 11 and 12, Revelation 11, 2, Revelation 12, 6, Revelation 12, 14, and Revelation 13 and 5. Again, two separate events. The rapture is likened unto the abduction of the bride during the Jewish wedding. If you listen, history, culture, and context is everything when interpreting the scriptures. We're going to talk more about that in other podcasts this week. But again, the rapture is likened unto the catching away of the bride during the Jewish wedding and the union of the bride and groom, which occurs at the beginning of the 7-day bridal week. Hello. Genesis 29, 22 through 28. Judges 14, 1 through 18. But at the second coming, it's likened unto the marriage feast, which occurs after the 7-day bridal week, returning from the wedding, which, by the way, is in heaven, and it will be taking place at the end while we're in heaven and the tribulation is happening down on earth. That's Luke 12, 36, Revelation 19. All right, at the rapture, the dead in Christ rise, and together with them, the living will be changed into their new bodies and leave earth with Jesus. That's clearly stated in 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 and 16. But at the second coming, the church returns with Jesus in already resurrected bodies on white horses. Guys, that right there. Are you kidding me? That right there is proof that these are two separate events. Let me say that again. At the rapture, the dead in Christ will rise with him, and the dead shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. We shall be given glorified bodies, and we shall be taken from the earth with Jesus. That's, guys, are you serious? Let me read this. 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Where are they going? They're rising. They will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, rise and caught up together with them in where? The clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. I love when people say, well, I know that you quoted that, but I don't believe in that event. What? Come again? What'd you say? I know you quote that scripture. I've had people say this, guys. I know that scripture's there, but I still don't believe in it. Okay. Guys, there's a fine line between being ignorant of scripture and being unteachable and being full of pride and arrogance. It clearly tells you in Paul's letter to the church of Thessalonica that there is going to be an event that's going to take place in which the dead in Christ shall rise first, and the generation that is alive and remaining on the earth at that time shall be caught up with them. They'll be in the clouds. They'll be in the air, and they will be with the Lord. And Paul says, comfort one another with these words. But when we get to Revelation 19, 11 through 21, it tells us that Jesus is coming back on a white horse. Hello, he is in his resurrected body because he's already been crucified and raised up. And when we come back with him, riding on horses with him, we will also have our glorified bodies. Well, no, that doesn't happen to the great white throne judgment. No, because that judgment is not for believers. It's for unbelievers. We, the body of Christ, are judged at the Bema seat of Christ in heaven, where our rewards will be handed out. Oh, and by the way, that happens during the tribulation. Why? Why would it happen during the tribulation? Because we are not appointed unto wrath. So while the wrath of the Father and the Son is being poured out on the earth in a 7-year period, we are partaking of the Bema judgment of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay? Are y'all, come on, that right there disproves, guys, that these are not one event. But I know people will still get mad and they'll still be boiling over with fumes, and they're livid and they're angry and they're foaming at the mouth and they're quick. You're a false prophet. You're preaching heresy. You're preaching people to hell and telling them that this nonsense that's not biblical. And I'm sitting here showing you line on line, precept on precept, here a little and there a little, but I'm not done yet. At the rapture, Jesus returns as a savior from the wrath, but at the second coming, Jesus returns full of wrath. Oh, let me say it again. At the rapture, Jesus returns as savior to the church from the wrath of God, but he comes in the second coming to execute the wrath of God. Well, I don't know about all that. Well, let's just read the Bible. Luke 21. I saved the best for last, guys, because these next few points here, if this doesn't prove this to you, then there's nothing more I can do for you. Because, well, listen, we can do word studies and Greek studies, and I can show you parallels and types and shadows. I can do all that stuff. But if again, I don't understand how much more there is to prove this. Watch this. Luke 21, 36. Let me read this. All right, let's go up here to verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of life. And that day, what day? The rapture, the harpezo, the catching away, the gathering together, that day come upon you unexpectedly. What? Who's he? First of all, remember context. Who's he speaking to here? The church, you, I, the ecclesia. He's not talking here to unbelievers. He's not talking to the unregenerated. So this is not alluding to the second coming, because the rapture is going to come in an hour and a day that we know not. And it's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. He's going to come as a thief in the night. But the second coming, remember, I just told you this. He's not coming as a thief in the night, the second coming. At the second coming, the Bible says this is not going to be an event that is veiled. When he comes, every eye is going to see him. And the Bible says that every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow and confess that he is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now listen, let me go back. Luke 21, 34. Watch this. Again, who's he speaking to? Come on, talk to me, guys. The church. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. Yes, believe it or not, Christians get drunk and they get high and they beat up their wives and they cuss like sailors and they do all this stuff. And Satan has deceived them and making them believe that they're eternally secure and their salvation, and they can keep on living like a devil, and they just gonna get raptured out one day and go with the first load. Wrong. It don't happen like that. He says, you better be, listen what he says here. He said, you better be prepared that this don't take you unexpectedly. Let me read on. For it, what's it? The harpazo, the rapture. It will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Listen to verse 36. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you, not them, not the world, you, the church, pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things. Oh, I just want to throw, listen, I'm taking about take my shoe off and throw it across the room. Why? Because I'm excited. Because this is so clear in scripture here. I don't believe in that great escape stuff, Brother Ricky. Well, then you better tell that to Jesus, because Jesus stood there and he told the church and told the disciples who were asking him about the signs of the coming of the Lord. And he goes through and expounds on wars and rumors of wars and desolations and famines and earthquakes and deception and false prophets and all these things that will happen. And then Jesus looks at them and he warns them about backsliding and getting caught up in the worldly affairs. And then he says, pray and be watchful that you may be found worthy to escape all these things. What are all these things, guys? Everything that he spoke of in the synoptic gospels of Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. So listen, I don't believe in the rapture. Then you go through the tribulation, my friend. You be my guest. I am going to obey God, and I'm going to pray every day that for as me and my house, that we'll be found worthy to escape all these things so that we may stand before the Son of Man. You be my guest. If you want to go through it, you go through it. But I'm telling you right now, I want to go on the first load out of this place. I'm done with this world. There ain't nothing here for me anymore. I died in 2000, 22 years ago, when I gave my heart to Jesus. Oh, I could preach a whole other message right there, but I better let it go. Let me go on here. Ready? Romans 5:9. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Come on, y'all enjoying this today? Romans 5:9. And listen, you guys hear how strong my voice is? That was y'all's prayers. Man, I felt the Holy Ghost on that. That was y'all's prayers. God is faithful, and he's blessed us to be able to have our voice strong back again, and that we can go strong and getting the word of God out. Romans 5:9. Listen to this. Romans 5:9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we, now who's he speaking to? We, the body of Christ, believers, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Did you hear that? We shall be saved from wrath through him. Now this is twofold. Jesus took the wrath of the Father at the cross, but he's also telling us that we as the body of Christ, come on, as his bride, is not going to endure the wrath that's being poured out and preserved for the ungodly. All right, now let me go on. Romans 5, 9. 1 Thessalonians, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians. Guys, listen, don't worry about the people that are sowing discord and division. And listen, I get it every day. False prophet, deceiver. Listen, we'll take care of that. Just pay attention to the message today for those that have no intentions but to divide and sow discord and all that nonsense. We take care of that at the end of it. So we just want you to pay attention. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10. Listen to this. Again, we read this earlier. The commandment of the Lord the Apostle Paul made to the church of Thessalonica is to wait for his son from heaven, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now, listen, I know people will say, well, that wrath means the wrath that Jesus took at the cross. Again, that's partially true. The problem you got with that, if you solely mean that, then this letter was established after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, this letter was established after Christ had already been to the cross. Therefore, Paul should have spoken in past tense, but he was speaking in future tense. He said, the wrath to come, the wrath that is coming. Not that it's already been purchased, not what he's already done at Calvary, the wrath that's coming. What's he talking about? He's talking about the tribulation. All right, now, 1 Thessalonians, again, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. For God, again, did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why am I repeating this? Because when I get over here to the second coming, you need to remember this. And then Revelation 3:10, remember, he says, I'll preserve you from the hour of temptation that shall come upon the whole world. Now, so let's recap this. At the rapture, Jesus returns as Savior to the church from the wrath of God. But at the second coming, Christ returns to execute the wrath of God. Revelation 19, watch this, 11. Ready? Revelation 19, 11. Now I saw heaven open again, and there was a white horse. And he who sat on it was called faithful and true and righteous, and he judges and makes war. He does what? He judges and makes war. Now, who's he judging and making war against? Now, according to some of you, it's the church, that we're caught in the crosshairs. Listen, come on, guys, think for a minute. Let me talk to all the ladies that are married. How would you like it if your man, your husband married you, and he married you, you are his bride, and then in the neighborhood, all kinds of people were causing problems. They were breaking in entries. They were invading homes. They were stealing. They were disrupting things. They were vandalizing property. They were cussing and swearing people and hurting people. And your husband being the, you know, and then watch this. Then they come and start threatening you, his wife, and he, instead of him standing up for you and defending you and pouring out his indignation upon them, he included you in the beating. He included you in and taking out his vengeance. Now, you say, well, that's ridiculous, but that's exactly the theology that you're promoting. When you tell people that God has appointed the bride, us of Christ, to go through the tribulation so that we can endure the bowl judgments and the vile judgments and the trumpet judgments and all the wrath of God, that, listen, I don't know what God you're serving, but my God is not a wife beater. He does not beat his bride. He, according to the book of Ephesians, when Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, and one of the mysteries of God that was revealed to the Apostle Paul, he's spoken unto a marriage of a husband and a wife. And he said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. And he talks about wives submitting yourself unto your husbands. And he talks about, I speak a great mystery, but I speak in reference to Christ and the church. And he's talking about this great love that the bride has with the groom and the groom has with the bride. Nowhere in there do you see the bride being beaten by the groom. But this is the theology that we have painted and created a tapestry of when we sit up and we teach people that God is angry and he's vengeful and he's going to throw his wrath upon his bride. No, That's not what the Bible teaches. In Jude, it says the Lord is coming out of heaven with the church to execute. Oh, let me just read it. Let me read it again. Jude, ready? What's it say? The Lord's coming out of heaven. He's coming with the saints. He's going to execute judgment on all, not the saints, the world, to convict all who are ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they committed in ungodly way, and they've spoken against him. And he tells you this right here in the book of Jude. The church is not mentioned in the letter that Jude wrote. Why? Because the church has already been judged. The church has passed from death unto life. We've been washed in the precious blood of Jesus. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You need to do a word study on the word chasteneth. He corrects. Listen, I love my sons and I correct them. I discipline them, but I don't beat them unmercifully and pour out my wrath upon them to the point where I want to see them dead. That's the most ridiculous and foolish theology I've ever seen. So again, I'm going to recap this. Jesus returns to bring his bride from the wrath of God. But at the second coming, Christ comes with the bride to execute judgment upon the ungodly. We got two more guys. Hang with me. At the rapture, this event is only for those in Christ, the overcomers that have been found worthy to escape. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:14 and 17. At the second coming, he comes for the redeemed of Israel and the Gentiles. Listen, Romans 11, there's a shift. Blindness is in part to what? The Gentiles, or to the Jews, until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And then there's a shift that all Israel may be saved. Matthew 25, 31 through 46, Mark 13, 1, Luke 21, 5, Romans 11, 25 through 27. Now, I want to say this is the last one, then I'm done. The rapture is a message of hope and comfort. Paul tells the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 18, comfort one another with these words. In Titus 2:13 and 1 John, let me read those. Titus 2:13. Let's read this here real quick. Titus, that's a small group, a small book in the New Testament. Before we get to that, let's go over here to 1 John 3:3. 1 John 3:3. Listen what it says here. 1 John 3 and 3. It says, and everyone who has, listen to this. Let me read this. Let me back up here and read verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be likened unto him, for we shall see him as he is. Listen to this. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. What is the hope? That he's going to be revealed and we're going to be changed into his likeness. Again, John did not contradict the writing of the Apostle Paul. He complimented it. Then you go again to Titus. You go to the book of Titus, and it tells you in Titus chapter 2 verse 13. Listen what he says here. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Wow. What am I talking about? The rapture is a message of hope and comfort. But listen to me. The second coming is a warning of judgment and the wrath of God. Let me say that again. The second coming is a message of judgment, a warning of judgment and the wrath of God. You can find that in Joel 3, 12 through 16, Amos 5 and 18, Malachi 4 and 5, and Revelation 19 and 11 through 21. Listen, how can you comfort one another by telling them that they're going to go through the tribulation, their head's going to fly, their blood's going to fly, and they're going to be purged, and they're not going to be any different than the ungodly, the sinner, the wicked man, the abominable man, and the unjust man. There's no differential. How is that comfort? How is that edification? And how is that hope? The answer, it's not, and there's two separate events. So again, we've went through about 16 parallels of the rapture versus the second coming. So this is what we wanted to cover today. Now, again, the rest of the week, we're going to talk about, I'm going to show you Old Testament types and shadows of this event. I'm going to explain to you why this revelation was only revealed in the New Testament and why that is. I'm going to explain to you, we're going to talk about the word itself, where it come from, the origin of it, why it's controversial. We're going to talk about the timing of this event. All these things we're going to cover. So listen, if you are offended now, you got a whole week. You might as well just tap out and just call it a week and come back and see us in 2 weeks, because this is what we're going to talk about for the next 2 weeks. So again, we appreciate you coming on. Again, we probably lost a lot of people today, but that's okay. Never was about a following. I'm not interested in platforms and all that stuff. Never have been. I'm interested in obeying the word of the Lord, teaching line on line, precept on precept, here a little and there a little, according to the word of God. So I want to pull up, before we sign off for today, guys, I want to give you an opportunity to keep up with our ministry. We're going to show you how to do that. Again, if you've never downloaded our free app, please do that at endtimeheadlines.org. That's going to be our main website. But to get our app, you can go to the Apple Store, you can go to the Android Store, download our app. It's absolutely free. For your convenience, you can keep up with all of our headlines, keep up with all of our podcasts. And again, it's free and it's available for your convenience. Please go and do that today. And as always, guys, we want to give an opportunity. If this ministry is a continual source of edification, revelation, equipping, encouragement on a weekly basis, and you would like to sow into this ministry for the gift of any amount, you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app that's available right there. If you have the app, it's the easiest way. Go to the bottom and click and give electronically there, or again, go to the main website at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, or you can give by check or money order. You could do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's at Monroe, Georgia 30655. So listen, this is where we want to close today. If you're watching this today, you're listening to us today, and this message has just really resonated with you, and you say, Brother Ricky, I don't want to be left behind. If that trumpet was the sound today and the blast was made from heaven and Jesus was to stand over to the banister of heaven and say, come up here and call his church, I don't know if I'm ready to go. Then listen, we want to make sure that you're ready today. So if you're watching this today, you're listening today, and you know that your heart is not right with God and you're away from God, or you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, we're asking you right now where you're at to just humble yourself before the Lord, repent of your sins, ask Jesus Christ to wash you in his blood. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, then you shall be saved. Again, Peter stood up in the book of Acts and he said, repent every one of you and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. So we're asking you today to follow the leading and follow the lead of the New Testament gospel. And that's exactly what the words of Jesus, the words of Peter and the early church, and that is to repent of your sins and ask the Lord Jesus to come and live on the inside of you through the Holy Spirit. Ask him to wash you of your sins. And he does this by faith. And when you do this, the Bible says that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life that is in heaven. It is a registry in heaven that will keep your name there. And listen to me, because there is coming a time, my friend, that there will be books that will be taken out. There will be a great white throne judgment, and we don't want you, listen, we don't want you being judged at that judgment. We want you to bypass that judgment, and we want you to be at the bema or the judgment seat of Christ, where you can be rewarded and not be condemned for eternity in a lake of fire. So that's how you do it, friend. You just repent. And Father, let me pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every individual today that may be watching or listening today and to this program. If they're away from God or they don't know God, I pray the Holy Spirit right now would go through this camera, go into their home, go through that phone, go through that tablet, go through that laptop, go right into where they're at, and that he would convict them and draw them unto repentance as they open their mouth and they begin to confess their sins before you, God. I ask that you would cleanse them, wash them of their sins. And I thank you that, Lord, all of heaven is rejoicing and the angels are rejoicing for one sinner that comes unto the Lord today. And we thank you today, Heavenly Father. We praise you. We give you glory and honor. I thank you that this word today will not return void, but it will go forth and it will establish and prosper that what is sent forth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, friend, if you made that decision today by accepting the Lord for the first time, or you were backslid and you have come rededicated your life back to God, then we appreciate that. We thank you for being obedient to the Holy Spirit's wooing and his drawing to you. But listen, we want you to get plugged into a local body of believers, if it's possible, where you live, to find a local body that is going to be balanced, that is going to be biblically sound, that's going to believe in the gifts of the Spirit, that believes in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want you to get plugged into that church. If it's not possible where you are, we welcome you to the family of God here. And I promise you that I will do my best to equip, to edify, to inform, to correct, exhort, edify, and even rebuke at times. Listen, that's because we love you. I tell my kids that all the time. If we didn't correct you, it means that we don't love you. And for whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth. And listen, if the Lord loves and chastens us as believers, those in positions of authority as shepherds and leaders, we have a responsibility, and that is to give you the whole truth and the whole gospel. And that's what we do here today. Listen, we're going to preach the whole Bible, heaven, hell, the whole thing. We're going to preach on sin. We're going to preach the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we're going to give you the whole balance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we love you guys. God bless you. And thank you for being a part of the broadcast today. We're going to sign off for today, but we shall be back on tomorrow, Lord willing. But until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.